We were talking earlier in the show. I don't know how we got on the topic, but you talked about that chef in the Johnny Depp movie that he shot because the enchiladas he made were so good that he was never going to eat anything better than that. So he just shot the chef and killed
Depp
him.
Depp shot the chef.
Yeah. So I said somewhat tongue-in-cheek that that's maybe a lesson that you don't want to be too great or too bad at anything. Just sail right in the middle. And someone texted,
you become a target.
If you're good, if you're at one end of the extreme or the other, Texter says, for longevity's sake, it's best to be just above average, never below par, never a shooting star. You know, we've got these kids coming in here shortly from, they're at a media camp for the summer at Strake Jesuit. You know, they're learning all about radio and TV and all the other, streaming and everything else that's going on. So they're coming up here to watch us do a little streaming. Right, up here, a little radio and streaming.
Right, yeah, tell them we're streamers.
We're streamers, yeah.
If they're 17 years old, just tell them we're streamers.
We're streamers.
We're not sports radio, no, nothing. No.
Is this good advice to give them, Seth, that hey, kids, in life, just be above average, that's all.
There's something about running with the pack. There is something to be said for knowing when to run with the pack and then when to push out ahead.
Yeah.
If you always want to... Yeah, I'm sure all these kids have watched both of the movies about Steve Prefontaine and the cross-country, the distance runner from the 1970s.
Yeah.
And that was one of his things. He always wanted to be out front.
Yeah.
And you got to learn to measure, okay, when do you really push versus when do you,
right,
when do you run with the pack?
Yes, that's big.
Yeah.
It's big.
It is. No, you know what? I remember talking to a Navy SEAL about that, about the whole... when you're on during the SEAL training and everything, there is an element to like, man, you're part of a team here and you're part of a boat. And if you're trying to win every race and always be out in front and everything, it's not always ideal.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, you want to be in the gray zone of like, man, but the whole thing is you want to constantly be pushing yourself at a pace that's faster than everybody else's average pace. But you can't always be at an all-out sprint, because then you're going to burn out and fatigue or fall away. So it's a matter of finding that balance of the Patriots back in the day with Belichick, their whole thing when they got to the playoffs was always, you don't need to change your preparation for the playoffs at all, because if you've been doing it right already, it's already better than everybody else, and you're working harder than everybody else. But if you try to go above and beyond, then all of a sudden you're screwing up the whole system. So, yeah, depending on how you frame it, it could sound like bad advice or really good advice. But there's an element of pacing to everything else in life.
Yeah.
And the people who are really, really good tend to be really good at running at a slightly faster pace, but doing it more consistently over a longer period of time.
Yes.
That's the real challenge. Anybody can go out and have a Nike commercial-type workout once.
Mm-hmm.
It's the people that just go out and have steady, solid workouts, even when they feel like crap.
Yes.
You don't have to act like the TV cameras are on all
this
the time.
This is a perfect segue into reminding people that today is a Framber Day.
Yes, you're right.
It's a perfect segue.
Not every game has to be a complete game.
Yeah.
You don't have to, you're not gonna pitch a no-hitter every single outing. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Living on the extremes can be very dicey. I think when Framber learned that living in the gray zone
can
be a good thing. And hopefully it's a good thing today.
No, it is a good lesson for life. Because I don't want to, I honestly get nervous when kids are listening or whatever.
Yeah.
There's a lot of nuance to it. The people who work really, really hard, it's not as, in anything in life, it's never as dramatic as it looks in the movies or on TV. The real stuff, like take a distance runner, for example.
Yeah.
It's not the one hard run or something that allows them to win the marathon. It's the fact that they stack those runs up over time and years, and they're more consistent with it.
Yep.
And it's just, it doesn't have to be as dramatic. It just has to be the consistency of it.
Good advice, man. It's good advice.
That's a lot harder to do than to just bust your butt every now and then.
Bust your butt.
A different part of the anatomy.
Yeah, we're giving advice to kids here, so it'll be a butt.
Yes, yes.
It'll be a butt. All right, so we got a Framber Day today. That's kind of a sneaky game, man. You don't want to go to Pittsburgh and lose 2 out of 3 to Pittsburgh, especially when you gave yourself the cushion of actually winning the hardest game of the 3 games, the one where you're going against Skeens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're still, I know it's early, but you're still in a dogfight with Seattle at the top of this thing. Like, tonight, Framber, go do your thing, and let's go get Let's. How about four runs tonight? Can we do that? Four runs? Is that a little crazy? Huh?
I don't look. We've had some nice little doses of some games where they've had extreme run production here and there, but they're still a well below average team in terms of just actually scoring runs. I don't. At some point, yes, I want to get to a point where I feel some level of actual confidence in my core.
Yes.
That, oh yeah, you know what? They'll probably score 40 runs this series.
Yep.
Sure they will. They're coming into town and they're just with their big swinging bats and they're going to destroy these chumps.
I've arrived at the place where I'm like, until Yordan comes back, this team is just going to have to be a super gritty baseball team that wins games, you know, on the margins, that wins games, you know, by beating out infield hits, stringing hits together. They're just not a team that's going to beat a bunch of teams 9-2, you know?
Am I greedy if I just ask Christian Walker to not strike out so much? Is that, can I ask for a little, please, sir, can I have a few, like several fewer strikeouts?
The numbers right now would tell you you're being greedy, but I will tell you you're not being greedy. He's getting $20 million a year. He's getting $20 million a year. Stop striking out as much. All right, Christian Walker, can we do that? He was the one, so I saw the All-Star ballot had dropped yesterday. You know, I got like several emails about it, some from the Astros. Pretty much any team that I bought tickets to one of their games, I'm on their mailing list now. So I've got an email telling me to vote for every Twin on the ballot. That's the funniest thing. None of these teams shy away from the fact that they just want you to stuff the ballot box for your guys. Like, it's never like, hey, vote for the most deserving. It's like, no, vote for all the Twins. Vote for all. I got one from the Pirates. That was a big one. Like, okay, I'm going to vote for every Pirate on the All-Star ballot. I voted for all the Astros on there. I did when I submitted one of my five ballots that I'm allowed to submit per day, per MLB. Christian Walker was probably the one that I felt the most dirty voting for on the All-Star ballot. I would say. Yeah, just he's not even close to being deserving to be an All-Star right now.
But that was the one you felt most dirty about?
Yeah, most dirty about voting for the All-Star game. Like, because he's nowhere near an All-Star right now. I voted for all the Astros because I'm an Astro fan. You know, I stuffed it for the Astros. But Christian Walker was the one I'm like, ugh, I can't believe I'm hitting send on this right now.
It is. If you had just taken Christian Walker at the very beginning and said that, hey, Sean, a couple months from now, at the very beginning of this season, you're going to feel better about voting for Jake Myers for the All-Star game than Christian Walker.
That's the you know, the funny thing about that is, Seth, about Jake Myers is that Jose Altuve is listed as a second baseman on the All-Star ballot, which means he's got a better chance of getting voted in. He's got a better chance of getting voted in as a second baseman than an outfielder because there's not a lot of great second basemen in the American League. The flip side to that is if you stuck him in left field on the All-Star ballot, where he probably should be based on the number of games that that he's played, he's not even the best outfielder on the Astros right now. He's not even the best outfielder on his own team. Jake Myers is actually more deserving of an All-Star vote than Jose Altuve is right now, without question. If you had told me at the beginning of the year that I wouldn't feel dirty voting for Jake Myers for the All-Star team, I would have said, you are 100% wrong, but
you didn't feel kind of weird voting for Yiner Diaz? Was that the break between like, okay, voting for Yiner versus voting for Christian? You had to make a decision. What do I feel dirtier about?
Yeah, I feel dirtier about Christian Walker just because his failures this year have failed the team a whole lot more than Yiner. Yiner's not been great, but I didn't feel great about voting for either of them. Cam Smith I enjoyed voting for because we met his mom. And she would encourage me to vote for
him. That's right, Yiner and Christian Walker are just about dead even in terms of their offensive production.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Yiner has a 642 OPS, Christian Walker 634. Yiner's OPS plus is 80, Christian Walker's is 78.
Yep.
Very eerily similar. Yeah. And again, not what you would have been hoping for or expecting when you doled out that salary to Christian Walker.
Jeremy Pena, I felt not dirty at all voting for him.
Jeremy Pena currently third amongst all baseball players, not just shortstops, in WAR and wins above replacement.
Yep.
He's that is with a slow start to the season.
Yeah.
So, Jeremy Pena, man, you get tired of hearing about offseason adjustments and what guys are working on and everything because everybody is. But man, Pena just delivered.
Yeah, man,
and has been delivering.
I didn't realize his numbers were that good compared to the other shortstops. So the only shortstops that are on his level offensively right now or Jacob Wilson from the A's, and Bobby Witt Jr. is having a good year, not a boffo great year. Pena's got to make it, man. I really hope. And he's been awesome defensively. That's why his WAR is so high right now, 3.6.
I feel like a failure right now, this second.
John Lopez feels like a failure. Is it because the 10 best-dressed people in the building are in this studio right now?
The Straight Jesuit kids are here, and they're wearing sport coats and ties.
I know. That's our first lesson.
First piece of advice. You want to make it in sports?
Look at me. Yeah. Look at me.
Hey, guys, this is dressed up. All right. Yeah. Exactly. It's a good looking group, man.
It is.
Good looking group. Yeah. Little media, summer media camp. So, and they're seeing how it's done. You know, they came to the place, they came to the factory to see how the sausage is made.
Right. Well, and the cool thing is that these kids go to Straight Jesuit, and Sean himself went to a Catholic university.
Did.
And he is ready and prepared to answer any of your theological questions.
Any theology questions you got? Old Testament, New Testament?
Old Testament.
There's two Testaments, right?
And kids, I'm joking because nobody lets me down more in that regard than Sean T. Pendergast. Anytime I have a question about Catholicism, he just gives me that look like, what was that again?
Yeah. It is. I'm a grave disappointment. Not just to Seth, but
don't look at
people.
Me, and I went to Catholic school for a while, too.
Yeah. Hey, Crosstalk sponsored by D&M Auto Leasing. Is there no Reggie today?
There is a Reggie today somewhere.
Okay.
Somewhere.
All right. Well, those kids will just have to make a little pathway.
Probably
frightened
of these young hooligans.
Yeah, exactly. He got hit with a sock full of pennies. Some straight Jesuit kid out in the hallway.
That's Gary Kubiak Field, right?
What's that? At Straight?
No, that's
he's St. Pius.
St. Pius, yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah.
You're gonna get you're gonna get the same treatment I did with Owen Daniels one time, where Owen Daniels is from the same hometown that my kids went to high school in, up in Naperville, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
My kids went to Naperville North. Owen Daniels, unbeknownst to me, went to Naperville Central, but I interviewed him one time. I'm like, oh yeah, I hear you at Naperville North. He's like, oh, I ain't a Husky. I'm a Warhawk, all right? Yeah, that's stuff. They get sensitive about that, man.
Do we, is the question of the day okay to ask in front of the kids here?
It's a good question.
It's a good question.
Yeah.
So what kind of pandering would Mike Tomlin have to do to get you and Houston to put money on a new building?
Oh, does this go back to David Sampson, the former Miami Marlins? I don't know if you saw this, Seth. The former Miami Marlins president, David Sampson, who's in the media now.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Told the story about how he went into like some of the poorest neighborhoods in Miami asking them to, you know, approve the taxes for a new stadium, which is this albatross now, new stadium.
Yes.
Oh,
and it was, I don't want to give the quotes because it's going to sound bad coming from our mouths. Mm-hmm. But it was like, it sounded really, really awkward.
Yeah, he admitted it.
Yeah, so Reggie's going to line that all up.
Okay, so again, the question is
what kind of pandering, like to get to you. The question of the day.
How would he
so like something other than just the actual offer of what the stadium will have or anything. I would need him to come out and he's going to have to do like a tour, give a speech to my little league team or something like that.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. I like that.
OG sauce and concessions.
That's a good one.
See, look, that's a man after my own heart. He's like, how can I make this money?
I know this is probably above Mike Tomlin's pay grade.
Yeah.
And you're like, people are probably like, what do you mean? He's the president of the team. Mm-hmm. The only person above him is ownership. I would need him to promise me gambling kiosks in the concourse.
Bingo.
Yeah, I need to be able to place wagers at halftime of that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As an adult.
Whereas Lopez wants
kids,
bingo
all right?
itself.
Yes, as an adult. Yes, you wait till you're 21 to do any of that, all right? But that's what I would need from him. I would need, that. That and Zevia at the concession stands. You know, I'm a big fan of the sugar-free soda. Yeah, I love Zevia. Yeah. So that's it. What about
I already answered. Yeah, you're not gonna get. I'm like when a comedian realizes there's a 13-year-old in the audience and it kind of frazzles you. You're like, all right, I gotta. This is gonna be weird.
I want him to have a library.
I don't know what I'm about to say, but I know it's probably not appropriate.
More books. We need more books in the stadium.
The first four things that came to mind, I had to censor and edit immediately. Yeah.
Don't worry. We got Figgy on a moment like that yesterday where he might have possibly disclosed to any children that were in the car with their parents listening to Sports Radio 6.
I dumped it, though.
That a particular entity might not be actually actually real.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Figure you got to watch that.
I dumped it.
Okay.
I dumped
the kids. The kids are out of school, you know?
Yeah.
That's probably the cleanest dump of anything that's happened on the radio. The
out of context, that's a crazy statement.
Certainly the most appropriate.
Yes. That's a good one. I'm looking forward to 10:40, right? Mm-hmm. 10:40?
But I think I also want to take it to a different level. I sounded like the individual. What do you think would be necessary to pander to like the entire city of Houston? Because I feel like that's where, because I mean, that's what he was doing. He was like, the city of Miami. He's like, I need the black vote. So we're going to the black church. And I feel like we can enter some pretty interesting territories.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. All right.
Reginald, what's the most egregious example you've ever had where you could tell that like a white person was trying real hard to show that they're, you know.
I like when they ask me anything, you know, Mexican American or Hispanic comes up. Hey, Lopez.
Yeah. We just want an authentic perspective on it. That's all.
Hey, Lopez, what do you think?
Yeah.
I think for me, and it doesn't help that at one point in my life, the doppelganger that I got most often was Dave Chappelle. Mm-hmm. So like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh boy.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you can take that a lot of places, and many of people did. Many people have. So yeah, that's probably the one where it's like, you know, that Dave Chappelle bit. And I was like, you don't know that I liked it. You're right. You don't know it.
Ahead of time. Do you know Dave Chappelle?
See, thankfully, I haven't gotten that one. That
are
one would
friends
been...
with him. All right, we are done. We'll get out of the fella's way here. We are out of time. Seth,
that time Seth was talking about Bokeem Woodbine.
Have you been caught up on this particular instance of Seth's face blindness towards Bokeem?
Oh, you weren't
Woodbine?
Here, Sean. Oh, okay. Last now week? I'll explain it to you later. We don't need to relive that.
Okay.
I don't know. I was kind of hoping to relive that, but it's fine.
Yes, we
it's
do.
Okay.
All right, we're done. We're out of time. Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies and a Tommy Pham to you.
And stay in school. Yes, stay in school.
And work hard, but not too hard.
Not too hard.
Consistently.
Right. Not your daddy.
Consistently
you
work harder than everybody, but not too much.
Meaty part of the curve, yes. All right, we're done. We're out of time. You're listening to KLT AM, KLT FM HD2, Houston, an Odyssey Sports Station. This young man's wondering why I'm looking at him. It's because what I'm reading is right above your head right there. Yeah, there you go. I'm not staring you down or anything.
No, you might have a particular interest
this
in that
kid
young
gave me
gentleman.
A look, all right?